If you got your Bible, we're going to read some out of the 14th chapter of Matthew, and I won't hold you long, but I've just got something on my heart tonight that I'm going to try to share with you. You know, what we want is what God wants. And I want to say this, this is not my time, it's God's time. I appreciate testimonies, I appreciate people following the Lord. There ain't nothing I can do. Just try to follow Him myself, and it's His. It's all His. Now, I want to talk for just a little bit about keeping your focus. And I want to come over here to the 14th chapter of Matthew in chapter number 22. I want to read this story about Peter when he stepped out on the water. And, you know, sometimes we preach about this or we might mention it, but I want us to look at the story and understand what Peter did, but I want us to look at ourselves. You know, when we read through the Word of God and we study it, and I've said this many times, we need to be able to read it and see what God's saying to us. What is God speaking to me? You know, they think it's interesting nowadays because this Bible series I'm hearing is one of the most popular series on cable television. And oddly enough, it is put on by a group of people who are trying their best to walk as closely to the Word of God as they can. Unlike this Noah movie that came out that was really a mockery of the Word of God. And some of the other movies that have come out that, you know, are really unfit for even children to watch. And people find it interesting. And you read through the Bible and you find the stories, and some of them might make a great story. But I think God wants us to go beyond that and look at what it's teaching us, but He wants us to take it and apply it to our lives so that we would know how to live for Him in this day and time that we're living in. And we can. God has not changed. And God has not lost His power. You know, as I began to study some this weekend, and I was sitting looking at the Word of God and looking at different scriptures and even this, you know, we're living in a day and time today where people don't think they need the Lord. They think they're too smart for God, is what it boils down to. I mean, after all, I noticed earlier before we started, all the kids were lined up out in the foyer, and they all had all these different things. They had all this technology in their hands. We're living in a world today where we can go to the moon. We can get in an airplane in a few hours, be anywhere around the world. We can get in fighter jets and go, faster than the speed of sound. But God, blink His finger, it's all gone. It's like I heard the little boy ask the preacher, and I'm going to read in just a minute. He said, preacher, how do you know? How do you know that there isn't life out there somewhere else? I mean, how do you know God didn't create other worlds or other planets? And the preacher, he said, well, son, I just don't think He did. And then the little boy said, well, why would God go to all the trouble to make all this galaxy and all those planets and all those distant stars and all the vast universe if He didn't have life out there somewhere else? He said, why would God go to all that trouble? And the preacher just looked at the little boy and he said, what trouble? So anytime you're looking at God and you're looking at Him in comparison to this world, He's God. There's no trouble for Him. Amen. Matthew chapter number 14 and verse number 22, starting in the 22nd verse, reading down to verse number 31. It says, and straightway, which means immediately, after they had fed the 5,000, after a great miracle, Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and go before Him unto the other side, while He sent the multitudes away. And when He, Jesus, had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. And the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Now this is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., it's those dark hours. It's really when most of the night owls are finally deciding to go to sleep, and those that get up early in the morning hadn't quite rolled over yet. It's the darkest hour. It says, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway, or at once, Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Now, sit in the 32nd verse, it says, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Now, I want us to look at this for just a minute, and let's look at what actually happened. And I believe it happened just like it's saying it happened here. Now, Jesus, you know, he had performed a great miracle, and he told his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side. Now, he sent the multitudes away, and then what Jesus did is he went up apart into a mountain to pray. Now, there's a lot of lessons right there. We see that even if the Lord had to go up into a mountain apart to pray, what does that say about us? There are times that we need that. We need rest. We need prayer. We need to be able to pull aside to meditate. And really, what we ought to do is work on our personal relationship with God. Now, I love being in God's house, but if you come into God's house and you hadn't been working on your personal relationship with God, guess what's going to happen? There's going to be some people around you having a real good time, and you're going to be trying to figure it out. Okay? You got to have a relationship with God away from here to have one here. Now, sometimes I come in here and they sing songs like that had it not been. And I'm just ready to preach. You know, now, I want to tell you something else. If my heart's not right with God, I can't pretend. You know, I heard a preacher say one time, he said, "I've been doing this long enough that I can just get up in the pulpit and, you know, I can fake it." And it kind of shocked me. And it bothered me that he said it, because we ought not even talk like that. Anything we do in his name, we ought to do it with the Spirit of God upon us. And without the Spirit upon us, we ought to keep our mouth shut. Well, here's the Lord. He said, "You go over there to the other side. I'll be alone." And here's the thing to understand. He didn't say, "Get in the boat, go out there. You're going to have a storm. You know, you might sink. You might not make it." He said, "Go to the other side." Now, sometimes in our life, that's the way it is. We set out on a journey. It's like we preached a week ago. What are we going to do in the meantime? Jesus is coming. The Bible says he's coming. I believe the Word of God. He's coming back. I believe all the signs are pointing to his return. We need to be doing what we're supposed to do in the meantime. It don't mean you won't have storms. It don't mean you won't have problems. It don't mean you won't have difficulty. It don't mean the devil won't try to stop you. But he's coming. And he's going to meet us on the other side. Now we look at this story and we see Peter. And they were all afraid and they were filled with fear. If you look at the scripture here, one interpretation where they see the Spirit is an apparition. You know, it's odd to me today here living in America that you got people that don't believe in the power of God, but they'll go and get somebody to read their palm. They'll go find the tarot card reader. They get up in the morning and they just keep making a decision about what they're going to do until they find out what their horoscope says. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Deuteronomy to leave all that garbage alone. If you want some direction, you come to where God's at, get on your knees and ask him. And if you want to know the will of God for tomorrow, do God's will today. That's what I found, is he manifests himself to those that listen. Maybe the reason God's not guiding is because we're not doing. Because the more we do, the more he's going to guide. So they look and they understand what a spirit is. But they didn't have enough spiritual discernment to understand it was not a spirit. It was the Spirit. Well, here's Peter, and he sees him. And when Jesus speaks, Nobody else says, can I come out on the water? You know, sometimes what we want to do, we look at this scripture and we want to mock old Peter. Sometimes that's the way people are. They see somebody begin to slip because of the storms and the troubles of life, and they want to say, look at them. Look what happened to them. Well, here, let's look at the good side of this. Number one, Peter recognized who the Lord was. And when he recognized him, there was a request that was made. He said, if it's you, bid me to come unto thee on the water. Now, I want to be able to hear the voice of the Lord. I want God to speak to me, and I'll tell you, I'm to the point in my life, I want to see God do something great. Now, we mentioned this morning about where the Spirit of the Lord went into the camp of the Assyrians, and 184,000 of them were destroyed by the Spirit of God. You know, I want God to do something so that when He does it, you say, that's God. You can't say, look what I did, look what we did. You just say, look what God did. Okay? He's God. He can do anything that He wants to do. Now, here's Peter. Number one, don't miss your opportunity. You ever get a chance to walk on water? Walk on water. That's kind of what it's about here. Something great just happened. You know, if I could step out on water and walk, and really walk across it, I'd love to do that. That's what Peter did. And he steps out and he begins to walk on the water. And for just a short period of time, here's the realization. Peter went to great heights with the Lord. Have you ever wanted your relationship with God to grow to the extent that you could say like that song, I want to know more about my Lord. I want to be close enough to God that He can do something that when I feel it and when I experience it, it's very close between me and Him. It's personal. And when he steps out on the water and he's walking toward the Lord, for just a period of time, he was very close because he was walking not in his own strength, not in his own power, but in the strength and the power of the Lord. You see, we look at this and they'll say, well, you know, yeah, but the storms begin to blow and he sank. Stop for just a minute. Who else walked on water? You ever thought about that? You ever read through the Word of God and read where somebody else walked on the water? Now, we know they divided the water, and we know the power of that God put on Elijah and Elisha, and we know what Moses did. But none of the others in that boat, that you know what they were doing? They were just watching. Over in the 10th chapter of Daniel, there's a story where Daniel begins to pray and fast because the Spirit of God, it just comes on him, begins to be so troubled. And for 21 days... he bows down before the Lord and he fasts and he prays. And while he's there, the Spirit is so heavy upon him that the people that are there with him, his friends, they get afraid and they run away. You know, sometimes that's the way it is. When God begins to move, it's either going to pull you in or it's going to push you out. It depends on how you look at it. And Daniel here, he's down before the Lord and he's praying for 21 days and so much so that he even becomes prostrate on the ground. And he's crying out to God. And the angel comes and he said, I heard you on the first day. The first day you prayed and asked, I heard you. But for 21 days, the angel said, I've been doing spiritual warfare on your behalf because the prince of Persia, he came and he withstood me. And the Lord had to send the archangel to come and help me. Defeat them. Do you understand there's a spiritual warfare going on? And when you step out to follow God and you're walking on water, expect the enemy to come. It's like this. A person who decides they're going to live for God and really live for God, you walking around with a spiritual target on your back. And the devil wants to do nothing else but to shoot an arrow into you that will cause you to get distracted. Now here's Peter, he's walking on the water, and for that short period of time, it's great, it's fantastic, he's walking on water. But if you look at the scripture in the 30th verse, it says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Now here's the point, don't get distracted. You can expect the storms to come. You can expect the winds to blow. You can expect the rain. And you even, to some extent, can expect the fears. I mean, Peter was just flesh and blood. Let's don't forget that. And here's the thing to understand. He wasn't any different than you and me. Sometimes I hear people, they want to talk about the old patriarchs of the Old Testament. Folks, they were just like you. And without God helping them, they could not have done what they done. Here's Peter did. Peter steps out on the water and he sees the storms and he begins to be afraid. And you know, sometimes, even when you're trying to walk on the water, you might have a failure. You see, you could be serving the Lord and you could be faithful and you could be doing what God wants you to do, and the storms and the pressures of life come at you and it causes you to stumble. And what the devil wants you to do is he wants you to believe that because you stumbled, this is what he'll say. You really think God's going to use you with that kind of trouble in your life? You think God's going to bless you? Let me tell you who God blesses. Normal, ordinary, everyday people. He doesn't call perfect people to preach. He doesn't call perfect people to teach Sunday school classes. He doesn't call perfect people to be deacons. He doesn't call perfect people to work in Awana. He calls his children. And what he does is it begins to work in your life and try to help you so that you'd be able to live here. You know, Paul, if you read through Paul's writing, he had a desire to be with the Lord. You know, God let him have a vision of what was on the other side. And after he had that vision, all through his ministry, you read that he had a desire, he said, not to be unclothed, but to be clothed upon. He wanted to be perfect. He wanted to be in heaven. But what we have to do is learn how to live here. Amen. You see, here's the distractions and here's the stress and here's the storms. You see, while we're trying to live for God, and we're here on Sunday and on Sunday night, the world keeps turning. We're going to get up in the morning, and some of us are going to go to jobs. And we're going to thank God we got one, but you're not going to like it. You're going to get there, and you're going to be sometimes even asking God, God, do you hear me? Is there anything better? Or do you have anything else, God? Even if you're trying to live for God, you're going to say, God, is my commission done here, finally? And you're going to be trying to serve God sometimes in a place that you're uncomfortable. Maybe because you're the only Christian. Maybe it's because you're in an environment that you just don't want to be in. You come home from work and you open the mailbox. And there's bills in there. Or there's a letter from the IRS that says, well, they filled your taxes out wrong. And you're not going to get that refund that you thought you were going to get. And then you take it up to the H&R Block and you let them read it and they say, well, the IRS made a mistake. This happened to me, by the way. They said the IRS made a mistake and we can fight it and you can win, but you're going to be audited if you do. And I said, I don't think I've got time. I don't think it's worth the headache. I've been trying to walk on water. What do you mean? Why am I having to deal with all this? Then the tests. And it's not just the tests that you face in your life, but I'm talking about real tests. I'm talking about the kind of tests that when you're going to school and you got to study. I'm talking about when you're going down the road and you're busy and you're not supposed to do this, but you got your notes laying on the steering wheel. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. It's the pressures. It's the deadlines. It's got to be done by a certain time, and you're trying to figure out how it's all going to happen. Then you've got the health issues, and you know you don't feel good. You don't know what's going on, and it's almost like this. I'm not going to the doctor because I'd rather just not find out. I think there's a lot of that. Finances, unruly children or loved ones. See, I've been trying to walk on water, and I've been trying to follow God and do God's will. And it's not just the wind blowing outside. It's the wind blowing in our lives. And what we have to be careful of is when we're trying to serve God, that if we don't really keep our focus and keep the main thing, we can get distracted. We can get pulled away, and we can even get to the point sometimes that, you know what? We're just like Peter. We begin to slip. And when we begin to slip and we begin to go down, here's the thing we need to remember. What did Peter do? When he began to slip, he lost focus for just a minute. You know why he cried, "Lord, help me"? Because he knew the Lord could help him. Because when he looked up, Jesus did not sink in the water. Because what makes you and I sink, what makes you and I heavy, what makes you and I burdened, doesn't even affect him. Because when the waves are over our head, they are still under his feet. That's a good song. It goes along with that. Here's the point. When you're facing the storms, don't give up. Don't give up. We all experience all of this stuff. I heard a story, and it touched my heart. It was a true story. And some of you may really be able to relate to what I'm about to say, but it was a single mother who was raising three small children. And she was actually trying her very best to take care of them. She was working every hour she could work to make sure that they had what they needed. She cared about them and she wanted them to have clean clothes. She tried to provide a meal that would be good for them. When they come in, she tried to do homework with them. She tried to play with them and care for them, but she was exhausted. And she told the story of after she had gotten them in the bed, of getting down on the living room floor to pick up toys. And she woke up when the alarm clock went off, sitting in the living room floor. Now, when I heard that and I thought about how true it was, it's true. Because a preacher will get in a pulpit and he'll preach and it sounds real good. And it is real good. But it's good for you and me because the same God that reached his hand down and got a hold of Peter, and when he pulled him up, he just spoke to him to let him know, remember who I am. God wants you to know who he is. And he wants you to remember that when you're facing the storms and the trials and the stresses of life, the last thing you want to do is walk away from the only thing that can really help you in your life. You got to know when to cry for help. And that's exactly what we need to do. Say, Lord, help me. And when you do, you take God's hand. Here's the words of another song that came to me. He reached further down than I could reach up. See, when you and I reach up, it's about like this. But he can reach all the way from the portals of glory right down to where you're at, and he can grab hold of you. And you know, if you just reach up, you don't have to worry about losing grip. His grip's strong enough. And when he gets a hold of you, he can pull you up. And I want to tell you this. Don't quit because you've had a failure. Remember when you got to walk on water. All right? Who do you belong to? If you're saved by the grace of God, he hadn't forgotten you or quit on you because you've had a failure. You don't quit on him. Remember what God's done in your life. And here's what I think you ought to do, is you ought to look for God's next blessing with optimism. Now here's what I want you to understand. God wants to bless you. If my boys could get this picture, I mean, I want to bless them. I got a boy in 19 days, he's going to be 15. He tells me every day how close it is. Every time we drive by a parking lot, he said, "Daddy, look at that truck." He's 14. You know what that means? That means he's half 10-year-old and half 20-year-old. He wants to be 20 in 1 minute That's where he's at. The next minute, he's 10 fighting with his brother. And if he could get the picture, he just don't understand. I want to bless him. I love that boy. I'd give my life for that boy. But there's some things that I expect. And sometimes I have to remind him of that. And you know that God wants to bless you. And he understands that you're not perfect. But sometimes what you need to do is remember who he is. And you got to give him his proper place. You got to surrender. And you got to cry out to him and say, Lord, help me. And we're going to have a song tonight. Ask them just to come and sing whatever is on their heart. But I want you to know this morning, or this evening, as we look at God's Word, and we see what we can learn from Peter. Let's remember this man walked on water. If you're here and you've been saved by the grace of God, remember that time. Remember the time that you've been closest to the Lord and you felt God's presence. Just because you've had a slip or a trouble or a failure or the storms of life get heavy, God wants to bless you. God wants, I believe he does. I believe God wants to bless his children. And all you got to do is reach your hand up. We're going to sing a verse of song. If anybody's here, you got anything you'd like to talk to the Lord about? Most importantly, you know, the most important thing you'll ever do in your life is be saved by the grace of God. You know, as Mandy was singing that song earlier, and I've already said it, it excited me to think that nobody has to die lost. Nobody. And here's something else. If there's anything on your heart tonight that you want to talk to God about, you don't have to carry it home alone. Would you stand to your feet as they sing this song?